Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the PHNX Suns post-game show brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app,
Welcome
America's
to
top-rated
Ball.
Sportsbook app. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review. We greatly appreciate it. Unfortunately, the Phoenix Suns could not get it done tonight. They fell to the Boston Celtics 123-110. And you know what, guys? We're going straight to the bar today
yes.
because we all need
Let's
a drink.
Do it. Yes.
The drink of the night. Espo, you tell them what it is.
It's the Irish Wake. My eyes are bad. Is that the leprechaun from the movie Leprechaun on the bottle there?
Yes.
I love that. Why not go totally dark when you have a morning game in Boston and you get your arse kicked?
Happy New Year's, everybody.
This is the saddest shit I've ever seen.
Yay.
I mean, that was something. It wasn't great.
No.
But it was something.
It was awful.
Of course, I'm Lindsay Smith, joined by Saul Bookman, Gerald Bourget, and Espo. Guys, I mean, how are we feeling after that one? It was kind of a major bummer.
Major bummer?
Major bummer.
Thank you, Saul.
Some hemium for you.
Look, I mean, come on. They had the chance to have the best winning percentage for a calendar year in franchise history. They had the chance to have the most wins in NBA history in a calendar year, tying the 96 Bulls. You came in with all sorts of great hope, and they fall short. Very much like every new year that I have. So thank you.
I love you, Espo.
I
love you.
Espo
absolutely took this to another level, talking about we came in with such great hope. And I was like, damn, it wasn't that big of a game, was it? Like, it's a morning game for like probably the only time this season they'll play in the morning.
Yes,
so.
Chris understands wet socks. It feels like wet socks.
Wet
that
socks.
Game
wet
socks. Felt
that's
like
exactly
wet socks.
Feels
yes.
Like.
Yes. She knows.
And just for everybody out there, I'm already drinking. So
yeah. Cheers, everybody. Listen, you could get drinks now. Drink away all your pain, take a nap, wake up in time for New Year's to do it all over again.
This is not medical advice, just
yeah,
so you know.
Definitely not. Yeah, that was definitely a tough one. It was very obvious that the Suns missed their two starters who are out and their backup center who is also out tonight. But surprisingly enough, Jalen Smith was one of the best players on the
Made
court
the real
tonight.
Number 10 draft pick stand up.
Look, seriously.
Oh no.
Look, you cannot blame the center position for this loss. Everybody thought that would be where you'd point if this team fell short. It was not. Jalen Smith stepped up, and congratulations to him. He had his best game of his career, 9-7 from the field, 19 points, 7 rebounds. He did have 5 personal fouls, but you know what?
Some of those were trash.
Well, there were a lot of trash calls. Tonight,
hey,
but that's
if you
not
got
what
them, use them.
I don't have a problem with it. The old Mark West strategy, right? But, yeah, great game from Jalen Smith. You cannot point the finger at the center position. You can point the finger at the backcourt today.
I'm going to say on the offensive end. I'm going to say that Jalen Smith had a great offensive game, and he had a block that was taken away that was called a goaltend that should have been a block. I will say that defensively, like, obviously – no one expects Jalen Smith to fill in for DA or even JaVale McGee. And the offensive game he had was great. But defensively, you see the difference and why he's maybe not out there as much. As you look at like the rebounds, that's not his fault entirely, but they got beat by 14 on the boards. They've been getting beat consistently in that category since DA went out, even with JaVale McGee in there. And then on the points in the paint, 64 points in the paint for the Celtics tonight. Like, that is the signs of a defense that's missing its two communicators on the back line. And again, you can only blame Sticks for that so much. But defensively, if you're trying to guard and they're shooting the lights out and you're giving up points in the paint, you're going to see a result like we saw today.
They stacked the box. They tried to attack the rim multiple times, and Sticks is basically the only one. Mm-hmm. He's the only big down there. Everybody else is, you know, they're tweeners trying to keep the bigs off the boards, and it showed. It showed. It absolutely showed. And I thought he did an admirable job of trying to stay in there, but there was too many times where he would try to help, and then Robert Williams was wide open, or mm-hmm. he would try to help on Robert Williams, and then Horford or Grant Williams were wide open. So it was back and forth. It was like a ping pong. So, hey, he tried.
Cove Crazies, that's Gerald Bourget, who hated on Sticks. Saul Bookman, who didn't give him his flowers. Let's just make that clear.
I just said it wasn't his fault. But, how was that on me?
But pointed out the negatives. I came in and congratulated him. Exactly. Thank you. There we go.
I swear, Lindsay is like your personal hype man. I do not like this at all.
Somebody needs to have my back.
Every time Espo says something, Lindsay's right there to be like, yeah, you go. Everybody else in the chat and me and Gerald were like, what the fuck? No.
I got your back, Espo.
That's right.
I got
way
you
back.
Fuck them kids. As in the chat and these two next to us, all right?
Well, we may as well go ahead and name Jalen Smith the DraftKings
damn
king
right.
of the game.
Look at that
been
crown
talking
placement.
All about him tonight.
Superior crown.
All-star crown.
That's how you know Leah is behind the Mac tonight.
The best crown placer in the league. Leah Merrill.
He finished with 19.7 rebounds, 7 of 9 from the field. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jalen Smith has limitations. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's only so much he can do in a situation like this. But like you said, give the man his flowers because mm-hmm. he kept the Suns in this game. It would have been real bad mm-hmm. had Sticks not shown up tonight in the way that he did.
He made the most of his opportunity, and that's all you can ask for a guy in his position, a guy who's third string, arguably fourth string when they have Frank Kaminsky mm-hmm. to come in there, give them positive minutes. He might have had an even better game if he hadn't gotten foul trouble. He got those 4 fouls, and Kevin Young took him out for a little bit too long before putting him back in. So, you know, I think he had a great game.
I don't know how I became the leader of the Sticks crew when, like, not even 2 weeks ago, I didn't even acknowledge that this guy was on the roster. But I will take it. I will take my rightful place as king of the Sticks kids.
By the way, thank you to Elon, who donated a super chat of $1.99 saying, I think it's time for Espo to get a Sticks jersey. If somebody gets me one, I will wear it on the show.
There you go.
But I am buying it myself.
What was his – was it Danny Granger? You have a Danny Granger jersey, right?
Game worn Danny Granger.
Did somebody give you that?
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm jealous of that.
Yeah. Huh. I'm not outing my sources, but yeah.
You don't even work for them anymore.
Somebody gave it to me.
They're still sources.
Did Danny Granger give it to you?
No, Danny Granger did not give it to me.
He probably gave it to you.
No, he did not.
I love Danny Granger.
Probably gave it to you. A
New Mexico zone.
New Mexico ties. He's a legend there.
Maybe I'll give you that. It just
Lobo legend. I'll wear it proudly.
All right, so there was one other positive in tonight's game that I want to talk about before we go down the rabbit hole of the negatives.
There was?
Cam Johnson extended his career-long streak to 15 straight games of scoring 10 or more points and has made 2 or more threes in 18 straight games. Mm-hmm. The second longest streak in the NBA this season and currently the longest active streak. So
suck it, Steph Curry.
Exactly. So at least we got that. Johnson kept it going. You gotta find the positive.
Reveling
you
in
guys.
The small victories today.
Yeah.
Help me out here, okay? I can't be the only one trying.
That is sweet baby angel Cam Johnson.
Apparently,
to
you can't be the only one trying because the Suns didn't try today at all.
Oh.
Gosh, I just feel like I'm on an island over here. I had to wake up so early for this too.
She's in her prime right now.
I had to wake up at 9:30 today.
She lives literally like 5 minutes away. Like what? Meanwhile, Espo and I drive from New Mexico every day.
Go Lobos.
Did Danny Granger? I thought Danny Granger played for New Mexico State.
No, New Mexico. New Mexico. Yeah.
All right. Well, since you guys don't want to talk about Cam Johnson, we could just move on to the negatives. The question of the day.
He did have that dunk. That was nice.
Slam Johnson made an appearance today. Yeah, sure it's the first time in a while.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's just something so perfectly sarcastic about the way these fucking things sound.
They sound like an asshole is what they sound like.
It's perfect for this show. It really is perfect for the show. All right, well, let's move on then and just talk about the elephant in the room. Devin Booker and Chris Paul not having a performance at all, really.
Let's not polish this turd. They shot 32%. Come on. Right?
13 for 41.
It was not good.
Like, not great.
What is happening? At what point do we need to be a little bit concerned?
I'm not concerned about Devin Booker.
Well, Chris Paul, it's been a couple games now.
I am concerned about Chris Paul a little bit. Like, and I was just telling Gerald this before. I was like, at what point do we start to creep up the, all right, I'm starting to be a little bit worried mountain of Chris Paul, because we know Father Time is undefeated, and once that wall hits, it hits hard. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a little worried about CP3. He doesn't look, first of all, his shot does not look anything like it usually does. And he just looks like he's trying too hard to get separation, which is telling me that he's not confident in what he's doing, because he doesn't trust that he's going to get that separation from people. I might be wrong, but that's how I'm viewing this.
So I'm having legal flashbacks to what we were talking about after the 1-3 start. I'm pretty sure you and I had the same conversation back then. It's called a slump, people. It happens to everybody. Chris Paul ain't falling off no cliff right now.
I'm going to pull a Lindsay, and I'm going to support Espo in what he's saying right now, because I agree. I mean, I think you look at his 3-point percentage. It's not great this year. It was at 31% coming into this game, and he didn't shoot the ball well today at all. His last three games, he's shooting, 14 for 37. So he has not been good over this stretch at a really rough time for the Suns, because they have all these guys out, and you would hope that your two best players would carry the load. Booker's carried it in like two of the last three games. He was not good today. And Chris Paul still had another bad game. So I think it's more noticeable during this stretch where the Suns are really hurting for production and they haven't gotten it out of a guy who's been consistently good in that regard. I think we're going to see a little bit more of this moving forward, obviously, because Father Time is undefeated. He's going to have more games like this. He had one early in that 1-3 stretch. I think he'll be fine when they're at full strength. But it's just right now, it's pretty noticeable, because they need more out of him than what he's giving right now.
He's not, I don't think he's capable of giving you these kind of games where you get 25 to 30 points on consecutive nights or anything like that right now. Like, not during the regular season.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, it'll be a little bit different because, you know, it's just a different atmosphere in general. But I'm here to tell you, for all of you people out there that absolutely shit on DA, that dude is the most important guy on this team. I don't care what you say. He is the most important guy, because defensively, he makes so many things that he covers up so many things for you that people don't realize. And then offensively, he has such an impact, whether he scores or not, just because of who he is and the size and his athletic ability to get to the rim and punish you there. I'm telling you, people need to start loving DA and appreciating DA, especially the owner who should pay him his money.
Here's my rant for the day. Gonna happen.
I will just say, you look at the last three games without DA, the Suns in that stretch, 29th in opponent points in the paint. They're giving up almost 59 points in the paint per game right now.
You're looking at life without DA right now.
It's
not
great.
Do you want this life? Do you want this life?
Do you want this life?
I don't think you do.
No.
I don't.
You don't want this life.
I don't.
No.
He needs the max. He needs the max over the summer.
He needed the max 3 months ago. We shouldn't be having this conversation. This whole thing is ridiculous. You shouldn't have needed him not being on the court to finally see the value in what he does on both ends. This is an argument that is ridiculous. I still think it's not going to change the minds of certain people that feel a certain way. Hopefully it's enough that the Suns see the value. I mean, I don't know what chess game they thought they were playing or trying to play, but at this point, just give them the blank sheet of paper, go write the number, let's get this done with, let's move on.
DA is not only a max player, he's the third most important player on this team, and you've seen that over the course of the last three games. Mm-hmm. Mikal Bridges has absolutely disappeared, and it's easy to be the player that Mikal Bridges is on the perimeter and guarding those guys when you have the extra benefit of having a DA behind you. It just is. Ask any of the guards in history that had a solid big behind them, even Kobe. Like, having Shaq behind him helped cover up a lot of, you know, missteps that you might have as a defender. You have DA there, You got to recognize this. That's why he's a max player. I don't give a shit about the stats. I don't care about the points and rebounds per game. What DA brings to you in totality as a one of the best centers in the game demands a max extension.
Well, Gerald brings it up a lot, has written about it. The gravity of DeAndre Ayton impacts this offense too. They get better shots when DA is down there as a threat on the block. Sorry, Sticks isn't getting that respect. Nope. JaVale McGee isn't getting that respect. It's DeAndre Ayton that helps get these other guys more open, and that's part of why you're seeing shooting woes too, because the looks aren't as pure.
Yeah.
Well, Buckdog in the comments said, there is no perimeter ISO game without the gravity DA brings down low and his coverage on defense when everyone else drops the ball. Then Bees says, our offense is center-centric, if you will. How much did we see that in tonight's game?
A good amount, because you don't have DA, you don't have JaVale. Those are the two guys, the rim-rolling bigs, that put a lot of pressure on a defense to collapse and cover the rim, because if you don't, it's a dunk for either one of those guys. And when you don't have that, no offense to Jalen Smith, but he is not an above-the-rim, rim-rolling big. He's more of a kind of a finesse and pop, pick-and-pop shooting big. So we saw that a lot today. And I don't think we can attribute all that to the Suns shooting woes, but 11 for 35, that's about 31%, not great. And the Suns shot the ball really well from three because they were beating them up on the inside and they were getting a lot of good looks on the perimeter because of it. So all of this is interwoven. It all goes hand in hand. They really miss DA. He is the third at worst most important player on the Suns.
Espo, were you sad you didn't get any MJ in Paris today?
I was. I'm more sad that the chat's so pro Saul and anti Espo. But yeah, I mean, we should.
I mean, I can't help that I'm rocking the hat.
Well, you know, that's fair. You look great.
Although Gerald, you look great in the hat. Better than I am.
I mean, it's way up there. Look how I'm not a hat guy. They just don't fit my head right.
You just haven't found the right hat, Gerald.
Sure.
That's
sure. That's what I said about my dating life, too. I found
well,
the right one.
Well, look at that. See, maybe 2022.
I found the
will
right one,
year.
So maybe I'll find the right hat, too.
The year of Gerald Bourguet and hats. Get excited, everybody.
But I do want to answer someone in the chat because they were asking, why can't they just negotiate with DA? Why do they have to eat up the salary cap? Because he's proven that he's a max level player. And it's not. Just look at the marketplace. As soon as Michael Porter Jr. got his max, it was over. The Suns, like DA's people, had no reason to back down from a max, and that's what they're doing now, and we're seeing the importance of having him out there. It's not about his max value as a player. It's about how are you going to replace him if he leaves. You're not going to be able to do that. And it's not, you know, it's not the Suns' money. It's one man's money that they're going to be paying going over the salary cap. They're already going to be there anyway. You need to pay to keep him because you're not going to be able to replace him on the open market.
Oh, but you could replace him with JaVale and all these guys. Everybody had a solution on DA's so replaceable.
Right. He's not.
Well, and no, at the not. End of the day.
It hurts my heart when I hear that.
At the end of the day, we've said it multiple times. You got to spend money to make money. You want to make money and win championships and be able to charge more for your tickets and have better TV rating deals and things of that sort. You have to put up the money for the investment to get that on the back end. Like, it just says it is what it is. So spend the money.
If you want to own a sports team and you want to win, spend the damn money. If you can't afford it, sell the freaking team. I am sick of having poverty franchises in this team that cry poor when it's time to win. Spend the money. I don't care what luxury threshold you have to hit to get a title. If you are not in it to win it, get the hell out of our city.
Dude, I completely agree. And you know what's so funny is that outside of DA, it has been the case that they have paid the players. You know, they paid Chris Paul the extension. Mm-hmm. Devin Booker got his extension really early on. Like, we got to give that a little bit of credit. But every other franchise that feels like in this valley, outside of maybe the Cardinals, is just like, what the F are we doing here? Like, we are professional franchises, but we're operating at such a base level. That's why I think everybody's kind of agitated, because you have this great thing right here. You have this team who is a championship contender, a legit championship contender. And then you want to try and nickel and dime and fuck with it in the way that you did. Mm-hmm. And it's unnecessary. It's absolutely unnecessary. You have to pay his worth. And I feel like people are, you know, I feel like the perception was, the play, the goalposts are always moving. The playoffs, well, we'll see what happens in the season. Yeah. Well, the season's come, and DA's been every bit as good as he was last year in the playoffs, if not more so on the defensive end. And here we are still effing with this. Pay that man his extension in the summer, because if you don't, man, oh man, that might be the end of a certain era of an owner here, because this is going to fall apart fast and nobody will want to come here after that.
And you point, oh, they gave Chris Paul the money, they gave Devin Booker, they gave Mikhail. Yeah, but you know what that all added up to? Getting close to the luxury tax line. And that's when all of a sudden it's, you know, things start to squeak. If you remember the old lady from the city council meeting talking about ownership, you know, that's when things pucker a little bit, and it shouldn't. That's when you should go, all right, we have something special here. It's time to make sure we keep it together. And if you don't, you haven't learned any lesson in the 18 years that you're running a franchise.
I can't take you seriously with those things.
Saul, you can never take me seriously now. I've just given you a visual reason.
I feel like it all matches, like the valley, like all the colors on your valley shirt to your glasses.
What's the alien guy off of Looney Tunes?
Marvin the Martian.
Marvin the Martian, yeah.
Greetings.
MCG Blue. Yes, it was Greta. Greta, the old lady who said.
Shout out, Greta.
So real quick, before we move on, Greta. I do just want to follow up on one thing.
We've had too many RIPs today.
Oh, about Chris Paul. You said it's just a slump. At what point do you find yourself concerned, I guess? Or what do you attribute it to?
I think if DA and Jay Crowder come back and the Suns are relatively whole again and the struggles continue, at that point, I'll be worried. I think shorthanded right now, like, I don't know. I think he should be hitting shots. Like, that's worrisome in and of itself that he's not, especially because he's missing makeable shots. It's not like he's shooting a lot of tough or contested shots. He's missing makeable shots. But if it continues for another couple games, once guys are back, then maybe I'll be a little more concerned. But he looks ready for the playoffs. Like, he looks like, man, fuck the regular season. Like, I'm ready for the playoffs.
You know, the one thing about Chris Paul that I do have confidence in is if my man could figure out how to get through the Western Conference Finals and the NBA Finals with one arm and drop 30-plus on the Clippers, then I feel like he's going to be able to figure out, even if he is slowing down, right, I still feel like he's so smart that he will figure out how to make things work and still achieve a high level of success on the court. So I do have that. I do have that confidence in him. It's just, you know, in the short term, you're just a little concerned because, you know, at some point he won't be able to figure it out. I don't feel like he's there yet. So because his mind is still fresh and good to go. Not like NBA players all of a sudden just mentally lapse and they just go to dementia world or something. Like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, those late 30s will get you.
Joe, trust me, I know. I don't remember my name half the time.
Look, if it goes 10 games and he's having this, we don't find out. Like Chris asks, could he have an injury? He very possibly could. But if this goes 10, 12 games, he's shooting poorly, we don't find out there's an injury, everybody comes back and it's still going on, that's when I can get concerned. Is when a slump lasts into double digits, then it starts to go into territory that it's something more than that. A few games, I'm not going to be concerned for this guy.
Yeah, and hopefully EJ mentioned it on the broadcast a little bit there, but down the stretch, because he started like 1-for-9, and I think he finished 5-for-14. So down the stretch, he got into a little bit more of a rhythm. Hopefully that's something that can carry over to the next game and get him back on track a little bit.
He's got to find it somehow, some way. And that's the best way to do it is like, hey, we're down by 15, 20. We're not going to win this game. I might as well go ahead and practice on some things I need to work on right now in the game so I know what to expect and how to fix my stuff. So that's what he's doing.
All right. So we're going to move on to our next topic. In situations like the Suns have found themselves in recently, as like the rest of the entire league has found themselves in with players being out due to health and safety protocols, how beneficial could it be right now to have a G League team?
Look, again, this is money that it's coming down to. It costs money to have a G League team, and you can sell it and you can make money. That's why they don't have the Northern Arizona Suns anymore. Would it be nice? Yes, because you'd have guys that are integrated into your system that know it, can just come in and play in this situation. But I think the bigger reason it would be nice is because somebody like Jalen Smith could have gotten playing time, you know, played games at a G League level if you had a team that you could send him to. It's not the same when you're loaning him to somebody else's G League team and you're hoping their coach gets him minutes, mm-hmm. plays a system similar to yours. If you own your G League team, you're playing the exact same system that your NBA team's playing. That's where I think it's the biggest disservice is in that case, in trying to get guys like that to be better.
Yeah, you're having to ship guys to Santa Cruz right now, which is not even in the same state. Like, a G League team would be hugely beneficial, especially because now the Suns actually have a culture, right? They have a playing style, the 0.5 offense. They have a system mm-hmm. that you could incorporate with your G League team if you put the right people in place. They don't have that continuity there. They have guys that are G League caliber players that are now being called up and haven't played in many games. Like, the G League is very good for giving some of these guys confidence, because you look at a lot of these guys' G League numbers, you know, they're putting up double figures in multiple categories because it's a lower level of competition. Some of these guys need that confidence. They need that time to play some of these things out and build that up so that when they take that next step, they feel a little bit more assured and they know what they're doing. You don't get a lot of that. Like, Jalen Smith today was great, but you look at a guy like Ish Wainwright, you look at how borderline useless Chandler Hutchison has been this year. They could benefit from being incorporated in a system that's associated with the Suns. So it's unfortunate because the Suns are one of only two franchises in the league that don't have a G League affiliate.
You know, it like you said earlier, it takes money to make money. Mm-hmm. And you want to give yourself every advantage possible to set your team up for success. And the Suns have not done that with the G League affiliate. They took that away because they were trying to save some money. And it really doesn't make any sense because player development is at such a premium. Now, counter to that, the previous decade they had the NAS Suns, and their player development program sucked.
Right.
Like, it was awful, and they didn't really reap the benefits of that whatsoever. I can see both sides, but if you get the right people in here, which they have now, you would assume that would have corrected itself as well. It's sad to see that they don't have the NAS Suns, because I know a lot of people really loved them, up, especially up in the Prescott area. And you need that. You need that affiliate. You need that support and knowledge that your players are getting the development that they need in order to contribute at a high level.
Well, the G League had nothing to do with the guys not developing, because they were treating their NBA roster like it was a G League roster mm-hmm. during that time. So, like, the thought that, and that's not a knock on you, because I think that's probably part of mm-hmm. what their thought process was in getting rid of it. The thought that, oh, this doesn't work, see, we didn't develop players, so let's get rid of it, is short-sighted, because you didn't use it right. So yeah. that's not on the G League. That's on your organization not using it appropriately.
I agree. And that's why I said, you know, now with James Jones and Monty in the fold, if they had a G League affiliate, I would assume that they would take a look at that entire organization and try to make sure that whatever they did structurally made sense for what they're trying to do at this level. And so I don't know. February 10th is the trade deadline also, by the way. Thank you. Somebody had put that in the comments. That's the only way this team is going to be able to improve, is through trade. I was kind of hesitant. Like, do they need to make a trade? Do they not need to make a trade? I definitely feel right now, based on the Warriors alone, just the Warriors alone, and what they've been able to do to the Suns two out of three games, and what they potentially could have on Klay Thompson coming back into the fold. I know he's not going to play at a high level probably when he first comes back, but by the time they reach the playoffs, he could be normal Klay again. The Suns need one more piece. Mm-hmm. They just absolutely need one more piece, whether that be Thad Young or Jeremy Grant or whoever. They need one more piece. They need another contributor that's consistent enough to make up for the shitty difference of Landry Shamet. Like, that is just such a waste of money right now. It's been fucking tragic. I don't know what my man is doing, but shooting a three ain't one of them.
And that was the segment, God Shamet, brought to you by Sarver. In the chat, I saw Elon say that the G League stands for the Gerald League, which back when he was single, that's what Gerald called dating apps. Oh,
no. And then Brian in the chat Gerald League said
no active players.
Wainwright was okay-ish.
They're all still in.
They're all inactive.
they're all on the health and safety
G-League
protocol
franchise, just like the Suns.
All right.
That's right.
With that, we're going to take a quick
break. You got you a winner now, though.
Yes, I did.
That's all that matters. It only takes one.
Yeah.
It only takes one.
All right, we're going to take a quick break because the NFL season is winding down. The playoffs will be here before you know it. And at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, the offers are getting even more amazing. So, right now, new customers who sign up using the promo code PHNX can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. And if they do, you will win $200 in free bets. It is that easy. Don't miss out on this action. You can also get some skin in the game with same game parlays, combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. It's a great way to utilize your free bets because you can add on all the legs to those parlays that you want, potentially get a huge payout and have zero risk involved because it's free bet.
Did
You're
you
not
see
betting
the guy,
with your money.
Did you see the guy yesterday who bet $100 and would have won $76,000 on a four-leg parlay of first field goals, and Kristaps Porzingis missed a layup, like a wide open layup,
man.
And that cost him $76,000.
Oh my God.
I wanted to cry for my guy.
I'd be hitting him with an invoice.
Yeah, exactly.
He got the first field goal right on 3 of 4 games. Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah. I would be so sad.
I'd be sending him an invoice.
Excuse me, sir. You owe me $67,000. Thank you.
Oh,
so one more time, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code PHNX. Bet just $5 on any NFL team and win $200 in free bets if they are victorious. That's promo code PHNX this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. Arizona only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Before we move on, I want to circle back to this because I want to know everybody's thoughts on. I just mentioned about the trade market. Mm-hmm. Who would you guys like to see come in here, and why?
Honestly, I would like Torrey Craig or Justin Holiday from the Pacers, because we saw the reports a few weeks ago that they're considering blowing it up. We need a couple more wing pieces. Torrey Craig kind of fills that role that Abdul Nader was having to fill before he got injured. Like, we saw Abdul Nader, it has not looked great, and now that he's been dealing with the knee and COVID on top of that, he's not going to be a playoff contributor for this team. I don't think. It would be surprising if he is. You need that guy, Torrey Craig, the guy that can fill multiple positions on the wing, defend, and play some small ball five if you need to break that out. Because right now, their centers are just, you know, the same tall 7-foot rim-running prototype. You need a little versatility there in a pinch, like if DA's in foul trouble or if McGee just doesn't have it one night. So I would like that, and they would be a lot easier to get than a guy like Jeremy Grant or maybe even Thaddeus Young. We'll probably, as the trade deadline approaches, we'll go through in more detail about some of these guys and what it'll take to get them. But the Pistons aren't just going to give Jeremy Grant away. So it's going to take a good combination of things to get him. And I don't know if you're the Suns, if you want to break up any core part of the roster.
That's where I tend to be too, Gerald, is looking at Craig and Holiday, because you know Craig's not going to impact the chemistry at all. You know he'll slide in, he'll fit right in. If you want to play around the fringes and add a little something, that's where I'd look. If you're James Jones, you're sitting there and you go, I don't think this is enough. We need to make some bigger splash and mess with this more. I like the name Jeremy Grant, but I don't think that's the way to go. This does not feel like a team that needs a major jolt, just enough to give you additional depth. So if you wind up in situations like this, you have guys you can turn to and keep things going if some of your major guys are out for some extended period of time.
You know, I think there was a lot of debate about who was the third piece. Was it Mikal or was it DA? I think over the last three games, we've definitely seen that it was most certainly DA, because Mikal Bridges, in an opportunity to kind of step up and fill that void, at least on the scoring end, he has not done that. He's actually gone the other way. He has not shot the ball very well. He hasn't looked very sure of himself for whatever reason. He's in a slump right now. Cam Johnson, on the other hand, has kind of stepped it up a little bit, tried to fill up some more of that scoring void. But Mikal Bridges is a concern to me, because if he comes out and he plays aggressive offensively and does the things that he's capable of doing, then the Suns don't need to look necessarily for a third scorer as much as they just need a good, solid player like a Thad Young. But if Mikal doesn't, and all you have is DA as that third option underneath the basket, you're going to need to find somebody that's going to help out Book and CP3 in the playoffs, especially if CP3 just takes a little bit of a drop in his play in the playoffs. You need somebody to make up that difference. And if DA isn't dropping 25 or 30 a night to help offset that difference, who's it going to be? It's got to be Mikal, or it's got to be whoever you're going to bring in to kind of fill that void a little bit, just to help out a little bit. And that's what Torrey Craig did very well for the Suns last year. He brought energy to the court. He brought a lot of enthusiasm, and he hit some crucial buckets for this team from a guy that you didn't expect it from. I thought Torrey Craig was such a valuable piece, and when they lost him, it was like, ooh, who's going to fill that void? And so far, nobody has.
Look, if you want to go big game hunting at the deadline, you're going to have to deal a guy like a Cam Johnson.
I don't think you need to go big game hunting.
Well, I'm just saying, and I'm not saying you, but some people want the Suns to get in on big names, and you have to accept to get something, you have to give something. And that's why names like Torrey Craig and Holiday are more intriguing to me, because you're not going to have to break up anything major on this roster to get in on that kind of a deal.
Right. And that's kind of why you're hoping over these next few games that, as bad as it looks right now, that Jalen Smith continues to ball out individually, because he's got to raise his trade value if you are going to make a deal like that. And Justin Holiday, I think we should shout out that he's a very good defender, and he's a pretty lethal spot up shooter. That would really help with some of these bench issues that we're seeing, especially if Shamet can't shake out of it. Because the Suns, we should note this, cannot trade Shamet this year. The extension that they signed him to, the deadline is after the trade deadline as far as when he's trade eligible. So they can't trade him until the summer if that's something that they want to do, if he's not able to turn things around. He's still shooting a good percentage from three, but he has not been good in terms of just shooting the ball in general.
And that's, makes me want to cry when I think about him. I just get so depressed. Gosh.
Anything else on that? Any of you guys?
Yeah, Shamet, play better, please. So I don't have to cry at night into my pillow.
Can I do something personal here?
Yes.
Hi, Ro. My daughter's watching.
Oh,
I just wanted to say, I just got a text about it.
So no.
Man, oh, F them. No.
You better watch your mouth.
You want to fight, Sam? It's go time. All right.
She's probably like, why are all these people saying such mean things about that?
That's fine.
Can she read yet?
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Load up the chat. Well. Let's go.
Oh, no.
I say, well, at least if she can't read very well.
My kids just laughed every time somebody says something jacked up to me. They just laugh.
They like, screenshot it and send it to you. Yeah. Like, this one.
They're like, really, Dad? You let them play you like that? I'm like, man, fuck you guys.
All right. So we're going to wrap up today's show with some New Year's resolutions, because why not? It's New Year's Eve. It's only fitting that we do some New Year's resolutions. So both for yourself personally, and for this Phoenix Suns team. Who wants to start? Espo, that's you.
My New Year's resolution for myself, I want to lose 80 pounds. So
okay. 80 pounds?
80 right. pounds.
Whoa, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I want to make this chair look bigger and me look much smaller is the goal in 2022. Just take care of the health, mentally and physically for myself. So that's the goal, and I figure saying it out loud here means that the chat will relentlessly try to hold me accountable for it if I don't do it.
Every time they see something on your table, they're like, oh, drinking Coke today, huh?
Yeah, come on. Come on, fatty. That's what we'll get from the chat. So.
No, we need to be nice.
Be kind. Everyone in the chat, be kind. And just right. In general.
I can take it. It's all right. But for the Suns, I hope that they find continue to have that belief in themselves, because I think that's a big thing with this team is believing in the team mentality and playing like that. And then I hope they find the perfect fit for Sticks, right? I hope they find the farm upstate that's perfect for him to send him to, and you know, find the team that makes everybody's dreams come true when it comes to Sticks. You know,
it's like where you take your.
I was gonna say that got real dark.
They're taking him out.
It's like when you tell your, Sticks
it's like when you tell your kids when you got to take the dog to go put it down.
Hey. We got kids watching. Don't tell the secrets.
Did you have a dog?
Don't tell the secrets. No. But no, look, I just, you know, that seems like the logical piece that's going to be traded. And I really do hope if they make a move that it's good and beneficial for both sides. So.
Yeah, I would agree with that. For the Suns, my New Year's resolution for them is A, get guys back, get healthy again, because we know what this team's capable of at full strength. The other one, get the backup backcourt back on track, because they are not shooting the ball well. Like, everyone is going to pay attention to Landry Shamet, and I get it because he's the new piece. He's the guy who got the extension before he ever played a game with the team. But Campaign has been rough too. He's shooting 39%, 31% from three. And he was great last year in terms of his shooting percentages and what he brought to the table. He's been a little out of control. So for them, that's my New Year's resolution. For me, it'd be covering a championship. That's my New Year's resolution. That'd be really cool.
So yeah. Your hope? How do you resolve to cover a championship? Like,
I mean, I'm going to do my part. Let's hope the Suns do that.
I'm going to show up every day and I'll put in that effort.
Hurry up.
For me personally, honestly, it's a little bit of what Espo said, just trying to get in better physical shape and better health for 2021. I feel like, or 2022. I feel like that's kind of the general thing that everybody kind of points to. But for my own selfish reasons, I'd like to do that. And then for us at PHNX to continue to thrive and grow, like that's the whole point of this, and to try and listen to our members and our Cove Crazies and other people that follow our shows, and the feedback that they give us, because I think it's just so valuable, and it helps us create content and create shows that you want to really consume. And that's what this is all about. It's not about us. It's about you. So that's number one. And then number two, for the Suns, I just, you know, for me, I'm always going to be a DA stan, because I love that guy. And I just really want him to take, it feels like he's right there. Mm-hmm. Because his demeanor has changed over the last couple months. He feels like he's taking it a lot more seriously than maybe ever before. He looks like he's a little bit more intimidating than before. He doesn't put up with a lot of BS out there. And he's a lot more focused out there, which I absolutely love. And I feel like if that continues, he's going to find himself in all-star conversation. And he already is right now. Mm-hmm. He's going to find himself in that upper echelon of teams or players that are just the epitome of the NBA, like the face of the NBA. And if he can do that, this Suns franchise with Devin Booker and him in tow will be good for a very long time. So that's what I hope. I hope DA finds that extra level. As my favorite movie, The Last Dragon, would say, you got to find that glow, DA. You got to find that glow.
That's cute. All right, I'm going to take one from MCG Blue in the chat. They said, physical, mental, and emotional health improvement goals should always be on the forefront for everyone. Mm-hmm. So I'm with that one, because you guys pointed out more physical than anything. I think I'm going to go more mental and emotional than anything for my New Year's resolutions this year. For the Suns, this, and I'm also stealing from Twitter, because Kellen Olson and Dwayne Rankin just tweeted out that Chris Paul shared after the game that he got a text from his son at home today pointing out what he has to do better going into next game. And Chris Paul said that hit him a bit differently, and he's going to figure it out. So more text messages from Chris Paul's son, yes, to help inspire and motivate him to be as great as he can be this far into his career, and find that inner youth and that inner energy and put it all out there and win us a championship.
You know what's so funny is kids are great, mm-hmm, because with their parents, they're not afraid to tell the truth.
Right.
And unless they're trying to hide something, but with you yourself, like they will tell you, like, Dad, your breath stinks. Like, oh damn, for real? You know, like they're not afraid of that. And so when he hears his son tell him that, it definitely probably hits different. Like, I know you, like, if Ro told you something, you'd be like, well, damn, baby, okay, well, let me go fix that right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
So it just hits different. It's far more personal, and you take it so much more to heart. And so that's great to hear. Yeah. It really is.
And I just think it's kind of neat. Like, I mean, because, you know, especially his, like you saw on the Instagram he shared a few weeks back, how his son was like, that's my dad. That's my dad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it comes from a place of love. It has nothing to do with you're letting me down or anything of that sort. It's no, you're my dad and I know what you can do. So let's get back to this and let's continue to do it.
Be better, Dad.
Yeah, but in a nice way. Shout out to Buck Dog for the $10 super chat. Appreciate you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, 10 pounds. Oh, where
Somebody
are you at?
Figure out
Buck
the conversion
Dog?
Rate.
I don't know what that
it's
is.
It's Buck Dog over in England.
They said, Happy New Year to an awesome panel. Been great watching the show grow and see you guys killing it every game. Thank you for the kind words, the super chat. We really appreciate it.
Happy New Year, Buck.
Buck Dog's one of the original OGs.
Yep.
I love that. That's amazing. Well,
he's been a flaming baller and a Cove crazy.
Yes.
We appreciate it. Yep. Elon, Shane is off today.
We're not sure if he's alive. He's at a concert.
He's off yesterday and today. He will be back over the weekend.
There you go. We got Leah holding it down for us.
That's why the crown placement was so good, Elon. Come on.
Exactly. All right, gentlemen. Happy New Year. I hope you guys all stay safe and healthy tonight, as well as you guys listening and tuning in. We greatly appreciate all the support from you guys this year and your continued support in the new year. Anything else you guys would like to add?
No, just Happy New Year, and I love you guys.
Yeah. Love you guys,
love too.
And with that, Espo, take us home because we can't end it without
any
of
that.
Betty White, safe travels. Thank you for being
R.I.P.
a friend.
Betty White.
Ahoy, hoy.